Shalom everyone, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Parashat Be'ar. It's a very weird arrangement. I'm filming now in my small, tiny hotel room in Nashville, Tennessee. We just finished a beautiful summit conference to support Israel with many great friends from Israel. I wanted to share with you today an insight that sheds light of one of the most famous expressions that Israelis use on a regular basis, and we happen to find it on this week parasha. And I'm talking about the very beginning of the portion. Parashat Be'ar literally means the mountain. And God said the mountain, in the mountain of Sinai, to Moses, and begins to talk about the mitzvah, the ritual of Shemitah, the sabbatical year. You know, after 6 years of working your ground, 1 year you give it a year off. And, of course, Rashi, the famous commentary, explains or explodes and gives this simple insight. And he asks, what's the connection between the sabbatical year and Mount Sinai? From all the rituals and all the mitzvot, why do you need to talk about it now? We know about Mount Sinai. We know about the sabbatical year. Why mention it here? And in Hebrew, Ma Shmita Le'ar Sinai. What's the connection between the Shemitah, the sabbatical year, and Mount Sinai? And he answers, and he gives a midrash, and he says that just like all the rituals and the small details of the command of the sabbatical year were given in Mount Sinai, just like that, all the other 16, 13 commandments were given in Mount Sinai. Do you understand? How does it answer? Then the question is even stronger. I don't understand. From all the different 613 commands, can't you take another command and give it as an example to something that was given in Mount Sinai? Why specifically the sabbatical year command needs to be given as a proof that if all of this command was given in Mount Sinai with all the details, therefore all the others are exactly with the same with the details? So there's many ways to look at the question, and actually we're going to use another midrash, a secret midrash I would say, because it's not clear, but it tells a beautiful story. And this is how to describe of what happened in Mount Sinai when Moses received the Torah. And it says as follows, that the midrash says that when Moses comes to the mountain and wants to receive the Torah, the angels of God comes and complains to God and says to him, why did you brought this human being among us? We are the angels here. You know, you made the Torah so holy, so amazing, so perfect. You're giving it to a human being. He's a sinner. We know what's going to happen to him. He's a human being. He's made of flesh and blood. He has desires. You need to give it to somebody who's perfect. Maybe suggesting give it to us, the angels. And this is the discussion. This is what they tell Hashem, tell God. And it's God answers them. And the answer goes along the line that talks about the fact that the angels are like God's keeper. They want God to only have the best soul. So the angels come and say, don't give him the Torah, don't do it to a human being. And God gives him an answer and says, oh, but there's something amazing that the people of Israel has done. What is the thing that the people of Israel did in Mount Sinai that was a miracle, that was a secret that only angels do? Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and then we will hear. That's what the verse says. That's the answer the people said. When Hashem asked them, do you want to get the Torah? Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and then we will listen. And of course, that's something that doesn't make sense, because first you need to hear and then you need to do. And that's the secret. Just like the angels who are willing to do God's will, this is what our people said. This is why those people are going to receive the Torah. That's the answer. So the angels complain and God gives an answer. And in between, where the magic happens. Because now we need to understand how this conversation of being an angel for a couple of minutes gives us the deepest meaning of the sabbatical year. And the simple is this. You need to be an angel to keep the sabbatical year. Think about the concept of what it means. Think about the fact that every person runs day and night to bring food to his table. And now you have a farmer, you are somebody who works in agriculture, that's everything he does. And he takes a year off. He sees his land getting ruined. He sees everything becomes yellow, everything dies. And he sits there and he does nothing. He is an angel. It's something so deep, so spiritual, so profound that the people who are keeping the Sabbath are doing is that they are being compared to angels, giburei koach oseh dvaro, heroes that makes God's request and will. And really, when you think about it, in so many ways, in so many different perspectives, some of the rituals are absolutely hard to do. But there's always there this silver lining that talks about there are limitations. In the end of the day, God wants us and wants better for us. So we're doing it even though we don't understand it 100%. Even though it's hard for us. Even if it's difficult. But when it comes to the sabbatical year, it's things that are not about me. It's not about here or there or something small. This is about life itself. And in your life itself and in the food you bring to the table, you need to look at the situation and say, I believe and I trust Hashem, I trust God, and I know He will provide. This is such a profound moment of belief. This is such a deep moment that you remember that you were once an angel. This is the power of the angels to do God's will, to protect God's will, and to be able to win those fights just like angels with no desires, with no limitations. So at that moment, we understand the answer between the connection with the sabbatical year and Mount Sinai. Just like Mount Sinai, we became those angels in mitzvah, in the rituals of the sabbatical year. People are uplifted to do things that nobody else would believe someone would do, all with the power of God. Shabbat Shalom.